strong winds blew across the viewing area just a couple of hours ago. We had some winds gusting up to 45, even 50 miles per hour with some trees down. I'll show you what happened and what else we're in for the rest of the day.
You have trees down and much more. We are seeing the impacts of the wind. As you can see, the trees, there are also roof damage in our area. We have team coverage for you.
And breaking news, O.J. Simpson has died after a battle with cancer. He was 76.
That's not all. We're also talking about a major economic announcement from the Triangle. Momentarily from Governor Cooper, what it'll mean in terms of new jobs in the area.
A lot of breaking headlines for you at this hour. We appreciate you joining us. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. So we have the death of O.J. Simpson, this major economic announcement for the Triangle. But we do want to start as we are in the middle of this WRL Weather Alert Day.
We have team coverage of that from the Triangle to Lee County. Let's begin by getting straight over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner.
This Weather Alert Day, we're expecting to see some potential for strong to severe thunderstorms. But what happened this morning was a line of rain, no thunder and lightning with it, but it produced winds gusting up to 50, 55 miles per hour that knocked down trees and, of course, as Dan said, knocked a roof off of a house. Damaging winds are still possible for the rest of the afternoon. Isolated tornadoes are not out of the question. We could see this up until 10 p.m. when the cold front finally pushes through. And, of course, what's new is we've had some damage with the system already. Here's a look at Dildoffer 5000 radar. Just some light patchy rain in our eastern counties east of I-95 and a little bit more starting to show up back to our west. But we're not looking at a powerful line of thunderstorms coming across the area. And when you took a look at radar, you really didn't see a strong line of storms coming through. It was a band of rain, but it was able to tap into some strong winds that were in the upper levels of the atmosphere and translate those down to the ground. We were sampling 65 mile per hour winds just above the surface here in Sanford. And that is one of the places that we ended up with trees down. We take a look at some of the storm reports. One of those in Southern Pines, a couple of those in Cumberland County, two of those in Lee County, and then south of Goldsboro as well. So we've had a number of trees down with that first band that came through. This is a look at some of the maximum gusts at specific sites, but that doesn't mean that's comprehensive. There were definitely some places that weren't sampled here that had winds gusting up to 50, 55 miles per hour. But 37 Rocky Mount, 45 Fayetteville, 43 in Southern Pines. And our wind speeds right now are gusting 20 to 30 miles per hour across the region. We have 33 in Goldsboro and 29 in Fayetteville, and we'll likely have gusty winds with us for the remainder of the afternoon. Some power outages with that. We did see things improving considerably just in the last 15 minutes in Sanford. It was over 10,000. We're back down to over 5,000 in Lee County and over 5,000 in Wake County. Here's a look at the big picture. We've really been seeing eyes on Florida. There's actually a confirmed tornado on the ground near Jacksonville, Florida. Right now, you see that red and purple area. We're going to talk more about that coming up in just a bit. But again, we do have that level one risk for severe storms through the end of the day. I'll walk you through the timeline with Futurecast for the rest of the day coming up.
All right, we'll keep checking in with Elizabeth. Thank you.
Yeah, wind damage, the biggest impact from the storm system. WRL's Brett Neese is live in the Five Points area of Raleigh. And Brett, there's been some tree damage there.
Yeah, right here at Reeves Street and Hudson Street, right behind me. I'm going to step behind the camera right away to show you the action that's happening here with Duke Energy. They have been cutting this tree branch up that landed on some power lines here on Hudson Street around 10:30 this morning. You can see them up there in the bucket truck. They did just take that tree off of those lines just a few moments ago, right as we were coming on the air here. So they're working as quickly as they can to get that tree cleaned up, and then they'll work to restore the power, work to fix these power lines. 200 to 300 customers and residents here in this neighborhood are without power because of this. I spoke with one woman who said that she heard when this tree branch fell on these lines. She said it was a very loud explosion. She's just grateful that nobody was on the street when it happened, because she says this is a pretty active street. A lot of people walk up and down it, and I've noticed that in the hour or two that I've been out here. So I'm going to continue to watch this and continue to let you know when this reopens and how long it takes them to progress through these repairs here in the Five Points area. Back to you.
Yeah, with wind gusts 40 to 50 miles per hour, you can get some trees down. Brett, thank you. There are several other areas with wind damage. This is video from the WRL breaking news tracker of Lake Pine and Cary Parkway in Raleigh. You can see those large limbs blocking traffic on the road.
A similar situation on Gorman Street. This is between Avant Ferry and I-40. A tree came down there, also hitting a power line, and we are getting reports of local outages in Raleigh and everywhere else.
From Wake County to Lee County, parts there also saw wind damage.
WRL's Gilbert Bays joins us now live in Sanford with an update from there. Hey, Gilbert.
Hey, Dan and Renee, you know, the wind started blowing pretty hard here this morning about 8 o'clock, and this is the result. This roof used to be on top of Randy's auto sales here. This is Del Ripple and Main Street. The roof blew off, and I tell you, you know, a lot of us who've covered these storms can stand in the wind, but when these things start blowing around like this with these nails on there, this is the problem, that this type of debris can hit you and really cause some damage here to not only to the property, but injuries as well. This roof area was all out here inside the street, and they were able to pull it back in so the cars on Main Street could make its way through. We're checking with Lee County Schools. We had three schools without power this morning and several trees down as well. Dan and Renee, we're going to go check out some of that other damage and have a report for you a little later on.
Boy, oh boy, Gilbert, thank you so much. Live in Sanford, it shows the power that the wind we felt today can do.
It sure does. We continue our team coverage with Brian Schrader for a look at how the weather is impacting traffic right now. Brian.
We're seeing some problems in Knightdale along Smithfield Road. Just checked with Duke Energy, and it looks like they have about 640 customers without power there because of a downed tree. And at least a little while ago, Knightdale fire officials said that Smithfield Road was closed right around 1st Street, between 1st and Main there, right in the center of Knightdale. Not seeing any big delays showing up on those sensors, but the traffic signals along Smithfield Road likely are malfunctioning between Knightdale Boulevard all the way down toward the I-87 interchange. We've also been talking about some of the problems in the Sand Hills with those gusty winds this morning, some downed trees, including one that closed 15501 just north of the Southern Pines area, at least for a while this morning. This is right around Brinkley Road. It looks like the shoulders still are blocked there as they work to get that cleared between Carthage and Whispering Pines. And, of course, could see some other problems with downed trees and signals out in the southern part of Sanford down toward Carthage from some of that tree damage. A reminder, since we're going to be dealing with this WRL weather alert day through the rest of the day into the evening, if you're out on the road and starts to look a little stormy, you can listen to us live on the radio at 99.3 FM in Raleigh and 96.5 FM in Durham.
The evening commute could get messy. Brian, thank you. We'll have more team weather coverage a little later in this newscast. But right now, we also have breaking national news.
This one stopped me in my tracks today. Maybe you too. O.J. Simpson has died after a battle with cancer. He was 76. Jay Gray has a look back now at his controversial life and career.
A Heisman Trophy winner and NFL Hall of Fame running back, O.J. Simpson, will be remembered most for something he could never run from. Born Orenthal James Simpson in 1947, he was raised by a single mom on the rough side of San Francisco. His way out? Football. A college star at USC, he was drafted by the Buffalo Bills, where he had a record-setting NFL career, including a league MVP. He retired as one of the best to ever play the game. And for OJ, the spotlight never dimmed.
Nobody does it better than...
Transitioning into a successful career in TV and movies.
That's great.
He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1985, the same year he married his second wife, Nicole Brown. The couple had two children, but apparently a rocky marriage that included allegations of domestic abuse. Nicole Brown Simpson filed for divorce in February of 1992, and just over 2 years later, she and a friend, Ron Goldman, were found murdered in her Brentwood home.
Suspect may be driving a white or light-colored Ford Bronco.
5 days after the deadly attack, driven by a former teammate, Simpson led officers on a low-speed chase across Los Angeles, threatening to take his own life before eventually surrendering to police. He was charged with murder. The court proceedings, dubbed the trial of the century,
if it doesn't fit, you must acquit,
lasted 9 months, every minute.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of...
On live TV.
Justice was not served.
Searching for that justice, the Goldman family won a civil suit. Simpson ordered to pay more than $33 million. He returned to court multiple times over the next several years for traffic violations, even pirating cable TV. But it was a Las Vegas robbery in 2008, Simpson saying he was taking back stolen personal property that ultimately sent him to prison.
Count one, conspiracy to commit a crime. Guilty. Count
sentenced
two.
To 33 years. He served just over nine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before being paroled in 2017. Jay Gray, NBC News.
Now to a major economic announcement this hour by Governor Cooper.
Ken Smith is in the WRL Live Center to explain what it means for new jobs in the Triangle. Ken.
Renee and Dan, this announcement is happening right now at the North Carolina Museum of History. I want to take you live now to Governor Cooper addressing the audience there at the Museum of History. State officials say Fujifilm Diosynth Biotechnologies intends to add 680 jobs, part of a $1.2 billion expansion in our state. This would be the latest investment in the state by the vaccine maker, which has been undergoing a growth spurt in the triangle over the past couple of years. Back in 2021, there was a groundbreaking for a new facility in the Holly Springs area. Officials say the project is expected to have an economic impact of more than $4 billion. Coming up in our next half hour, we'll hear what Governor Cooper has to say about this major economic investment in our state.
All right, big news. Ken Smith reporting live. Thank you. WRL Sean Gallagher joining us now with a little bit more on what this all means for our area. Sean.
Yeah, Dan, this company has been in our area for nearly 30 years, but it's really been in the last 2 to 3 that they've upped their commitment to growth in the triangle. Fujifilm Diosynth Biotechnologies develops and manufactures vaccines. Today's announcements will add a large-scale cell culture manufacturing facility right here in Holly Springs. That's basically what vaccines are made of, cultured cells. So more of the process will be taking place right here. This morning, security wouldn't let us on the property, but we could see from the road the area is still largely under development. That construction that started here in 2021. And today's announcements will nearly double the number of jobs here and increase the company's total investment by about 60%. Now, during a conference call about an hour ago, the Economic Investment Committee said that the new facility that's coming here will be one of the largest of its kind in the entire world. And Fujifilm is just the latest Japanese company to have an influence here. Coming up tonight, we'll look into that a little bit more about why there's so much Japanese business influence here in the Triangle. But for now, in Holly Springs, Sean Gallagher, WRAL News.
All right, Sean, thank you. So as you were saying, this has been kind of a big week. The news comes ahead of the Japanese Prime Minister making a historic visit to North Carolina today. Fumio Kishida will be treated to barbecue and Southern hospitality, of course, today as he tours some of the biggest Japanese companies in the state. Japan invests more money than any foreign country into North Carolina. Governor Cooper plans to greet him when he arrives at RDU this afternoon.
And far from ideal weather for the Japanese prime minister visit. Back to our weather coverage. Strong wind gusts made it difficult for crews battling this house fire in East Raleigh. This is Sheriff Place West, which is off Barwell Road. You can see a significant amount of damage concentrated to the roof. Firefighters say everyone made it out safely. The cause is under investigation. A Baton Rouge man owes his life to his wife after a tree crashed down on their home.
Kill me. But she saved my life by the grace of God.
It was close. You see him, the tree broke both his legs. Just ahead, hear what the woman did to rescue her husband.
Also, what happened when a North Carolina Central student charged in connection with the shooting outside a residence hall appeared. A North Carolina Central student charged in connection with the shooting outside a residence hall appeared in court within the last hour. WRL's Noah Klein is here with what happened and the next steps. Noah.
Yeah, Renee, a key update here in the case. A Durham assistant district attorney says this student didn't pull the trigger, but instead conspired with the shooter in this case, who we should mention police are still searching for. Let's see this video here of Eric Randall appearing virtually in court from the Durham County Jail. The judge granted him a public defender and set his bond at $95,000. He was also told he can't contact the victim and he's banned from campus. Randall was arrested yesterday. He's facing two charges here, conspiracy to commit armed robbery and conspiracy to commit assault with a deadly weapon. This case all connected to that shooting at Lawson Street Residence Hall back on April 2nd. New today, we also learned the name of the person who was shot. The assistant district attorney says Tyon Richardson had serious injuries. And CCU police say more arrests are expected in this case. Randall, meanwhile, is due back in court come April 22nd.
We'll keep following this case. Noah, thank you.
Let's keep talking about this weather. People in Louisiana, they're cleaning up. A morning now after this major damage from tornadoes. Check out this video just outside of New Orleans. This is an EF1 tornado ripped through the city yesterday. Winds up to 140 miles per hour. The city's police chief believes many of the three tornadoes may have touched down there.
And not just in Slidell, but also in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Take a look at this. A massive tree fell onto a house there. A couple was inside and it broke both the legs of a man who was then rescued by his wife. The wife had to kind of hold up the roof as he could kind of crawl out and get out from all that damage. Very scary indeed. Doctors expect Sarand Rani to make a full recovery.
A lot of us felt the wind blowing this morning. It was very obvious outside, the trees rocking back and forth, but we're not done with it just yet. Elizabeth Garner joining us now with how the rest of the day may proceed for us here.
We'll likely see more waves of rain and thunderstorms coming through all the way until the cold front passes us, and that may not happen until around 11 o'clock tonight. This was a really interesting scenario, something that we don't see very often. Typically, when we have thunderstorms, there's a lot of lift up into the atmosphere. It can tap into some strong winds above us and help to draw it down to the surface and create those straight line winds that cause damage, knocking down trees. This was not such a thing, but we did have winds that were very strong just above the surface. And as this band of rain came through, just the act of the rain falling helped to drag down some of that strong wind without even any thunderstorm. So interesting scenario out there for us, but we did see some gusts anywhere from 45 to 50 miles per hour and up above us as much as 65 mile per hour winds. A little bit of light patchy rain lingering, but we don't currently have the strong gusty winds quite as strong as we saw earlier. We're still seeing some gusts up to around 30 miles per hour right now, which can definitely, you know, knock down some small limbs and toss around some trash cans. I know it's my trash day, but that last little bit of rain kind of moving out of Princeville right now. This is a look at where we've had some wind damage so far. Southern Pines, this is almost all trees down. Two of them in Cumberland County, two in Lee County, and they're in the southern part of Wayne County, south of Goldsboro. Down just as that band of rain moved across, but it was able to drag down some of those strong winds. This is from the Spring Lake Fire Department in Cumberland County. You can see that tree across the road there. And again, so many reports of that, especially from the Triangle area southward with that band of rain that came through earlier this morning. We would love to see your weather watcher photos. When it's safe to go outside, snap a picture, go to WRL.com, search weather watchers and load those up. We would love to see them. Not just when we have severe weather, but anytime. The wind gusts are in the white box on the right, so we're gusting to 28 in Fayetteville, Goldsboro, and Rocky Mount, and that's down a little bit from when we checked in with you about 15 minutes ago when we had some gusts up to 32, 33 miles per hour. So a little bit of a lull. We're not seeing any rain right now, but it is likely to remain windy even between the showers or thunderstorms. Wind damage is going to be our biggest threat, but when the cold front comes through this evening, it wouldn't be out of the question to see an isolated tornado, and that front doesn't come through until around 11 o'clock, so we could still have the potential for some issues between now and then. A little cell developing here across the Triangle area, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. We're just going to see these waves coming through. And then here's the front starting to work its way in around 9 o'clock. At about 10 or 11, it's starting to push out of the viewing area. And that may be the time that we would have a better chance for tornadoes. Speaking of tornadoes, boy, it's been North Florida this morning. Right now, we're looking at it just expired, but a confirmed tornado on the ground just south of Jacksonville, Florida. And along the Gulf Coast, we've seen a lot of tornado damage in the last 2 days. So it's been rough. Here's a look. You can see some of that clustered down in Texas and Louisiana, but it's definitely been rough. We take a look at the whirligigs here. They're spinning around. Again, we're going to see even outside of any rain or storms, those gusts up to around 40 miles per hour. 70 is our temperature right now, so we're really warming up. We'll likely stay in the low 70s for the rest of the day. Tomorrow, we still have a chance of some scattered showers or thunderstorms late in the day. I'll walk you through the timeline for Friday coming up.
Elizabeth, thank you.
After hundreds showed up to meet DJ Burns and DJ Horn at Applebee's, we look at just how much money college athletes are making through NIL. Today on our News at 4, how the game is changing off the court.
Then a Durham firefighter hurt in a house fire that he says he can't believe he survived. Look at the uniform he was wearing. This is after the roof collapsed in the flames. Today at 5:30, Donald Dixon tells us how he managed to survive. The cost of internet service could surge for millions of Americans. Coming up, the reason why and the effort to put a cap on some of those fees.
Also ahead on this newscast, a new effort this month to improve traffic safety. And it's all focused on something nearly everyone now carries in their car. April is Distracted Driving Awareness Month, a great reminder to be more present while on the road. New data from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration reveals that distracted driving caused crashes that killed more than 3,300 people in 2022. 290,000 people were injured as a result of distracted driving. Some ways to stay focused and not be distracted: choose calming music in the car, refrain from arguing with passengers in your car, and make stops every 2 hours on road trips just to get some fresh air. But the biggest factor in distracted driving, you know it, your cell phone.
You spend just glancing at a text would basically cause you to literally drive the length of a football field without seeing the road.
So putting your phone somewhere where you cannot reach it while you're driving is helpful. Experts also say your driving example will rub off on your kids who are learning from the back seat.
Your internet bill may go up from $16 to $40 next month, or even more than that. If you're one of the nearly 23 million American households that get subsidies through the Affordable Connectivity Program, which is right now winding down. Some lawmakers are increasing their push to refund it, but Amy Kiley reports the FCC also has some new requirements to help you with the costs.
The most successful internet affordability program in our nation's history will soon run out of money unless Congress acts.
New efforts are underway to stop internet prices from surging next month for nearly 23 million American households. The Affordable Connectivity Program is almost out of money. Now the FCC is set to cut subsidies by more than half in May. Without new funding, later they'll be gone.
From education to employment to scheduling healthcare appointments to access to health services, everyone deserves affordable internet access.
Some lawmakers are increasing their push to keep funding the program. A bipartisan Senate bill to give it $7 billion has five co-sponsors after two joined yesterday. A House plan has majority support in the chamber, but it's unclear if Speaker Mike Johnson will bring it to the floor. House Republicans are pushing to rein in government spending, and the program is left over from the pandemic.
High-speed internet isn't a luxury anymore. It's an absolute necessity.
The Biden administration is trying to help consumers understand provider fees with a new regulation unveiled yesterday.
A lot of times there's hidden fees, things like data caps or throttling, or you have to pay more for data.
The FCC now requires internet providers to use what looks like a nutrition label. It shows plan details like fees and services.
The hope is that if it's more transparent, you can make a better choice as a consumer.
I'm Amy Kiley reporting.
Coming up in the next half hour, we're learning much more right now about a major economic announcement for the Triangle. Ken Smith is going to break it down for us.
And we're under a WRL weather alert day. We're already seeing wind damage. Our team of meteorologists is closely tracking the system and providing you the information you need to stay safe.
And let's take a quick look at your winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
We are in the middle of a WRL severe weather alert day, and we've just learned from Northampton County Schools in Virginia that after school activities are canceled because of the weather.
Yeah, this weather has kind of affected our entire viewing area at this point with the heavy winds. Our Gilbert Bays, we spoke to him not long ago. He showed us where a roof had been torn from a business. Now he's outside of a house damaged by a fallen tree. Gilbert.
Yeah, that's right. And you can see it's the old oak tree that's here. It looks like it was rotted on the inside. And if you look up here, you can see that it snapped off the top here. This is indicative of straight line winds because we don't see any twisting like there was a tornado here. The house, it did fall on the house that's out here as well. There's no one home. And I don't know if someone was here and left when this happened. But right now, we don't know that anyone has been injured here. We did get word from the Lee County Schools that there were four schools without power. They have since released those students home because of the lack of power. That's about 2,000 students who have been sent home. Good news there, again, from their spokesperson, no one injured at the school. So, again, these storms came through here about 8 o'clock this morning, and this is not too far, Dan, from where we were just at 12 o'clock where the roof was blown off the business over there. So it seems like the system came right across this way, right down Dell Ripple Road, and we're going to check and see if there's more damage down the road. We heard that there are other trees down in the Sanford area as well.
Gilbert, busy today out there in Sanford with another live report. Gilbert, thank you.
Duke Energy crews are out working hard to restore power after strong winds brought down trees. onto power lines.
Yeah, it's going to be busy for a lot of folks. Those crews removing those trees and getting the power lines back up. Several large trees fell in a neighborhood just south of the Beltline. This is off of Glen Eden Road. This was the scene in the area of Westwood Drive and Whitman Road. We talked to two people who say they're both thankful that no one was hurt. In both the cases, trees fell away from the homes and cars.
We heard a crash in the front of the house, and this old tree here broke in two. One part went one way, one went another, and took out, hit the power line in two places, I guess.
And I heard this crash coming down, and all of a sudden, like one of the city trash cans being blown down my driveway. I looked out the bathroom window, and everything looked fine. And my neighbor, about that time, called me. She said, "Have you seen the tree on your yard?" And I said, "No." And so I came out the front door, and I said, "Holy smokes."
Holy smokes is right. You imagine if that tree fell the other way, it'd be a different story. Kay Letterman there was actually talking with us as her tree was being removed, starting the cleanup there today. The North Carolina Central student charged in connection with a shooting outside of the residence hall last week will be in court today. NCCU police say they arrested 19-year-old Eric Randall yesterday. He's facing charges of conspiracy to commit armed robbery and conspiracy to commit assault with a deadly weapon. It's connected to a shooting at on Lawson Street, the residence hall there, on April 2nd. A student was shot and taken to the hospital. NCCU police say more arrests are expected. Southview High School in Hope Mills is back in session today after a lockdown there yesterday. A school resource officer at the school found a .45 caliber handgun, bullets, and ecstasy pills in a student's backpack. The officer searched the student after staff at another school, Pine Forest High School in Fayetteville, got a tip about a weapon on campus at Southview. The student is now facing charges, including possession of a firearm on educational property and removing a gun's serial number.
Only on WREL, a Pinecrest High School student is sharing her recovery story nearly a year after she was stabbed more than 20 times in her school parking lot. Avery Slatcher spent 16 days at UNC Hospital after the stabbing outside her school last April. Police say it was her ex-boyfriend who attacked her and left her fighting for her life. Her dad remembers getting the phone call that morning.
She had wounds to both legs, both sides of her body, her back, the top of her head, and then she had some smaller wounds on her arms where she had tried to protect and defend herself.
Every day I am able to be here still and spend time with my family, and that could have been taken away from me so easily.
After hearing about that horrific attack, I know a lot of folks were wondering how she was recovering. And it's good to see that she is on the path to healing. My goodness. Avery's ex-boyfriend, Christopher Tarter, is charged with attempted murder. He is due in court later this month.
Let's get another update on that major economic announcement this hour by Governor Cooper. Ken Smith in the WRL Live Center to explain what it's going to mean for new jobs in the Triangle, Ken.
Yeah, Dan, this story happened just at the top of the hour when we came on the air here in the new newscast. Governor Cooper making the announcement saying that Fujifilm, Dyson, Biotechnologies will be adding 680 jobs, part of a $1.2 billion expansion in North Carolina. This would mean the latest investment in our state by the vaccine maker, which has been undergoing a growth spurt in the Triangle over the past 2 years. Back in 2021, Fujifilm, Dyson broke ground on a new manufacturing facility in Holly Springs. Governor Cooper says today's announcement strengthens our economic partnership between North Carolina and Japan.
We're making history this week with the visit by the Prime Minister of Japan coming in this evening, and we'll spend a wonderful day showing all North Carolina has to offer tomorrow.
This announcement follows a meeting by the State Commerce Department Economic Investment Committee that approved $15 billion in incentives. This is on top of $54 million in incentives that were approved by the Wake County Commissioners and Holly Springs as well. Overall, the economic impact to our state by today's investment, more than $4 billion.
All right, Ken, thank you.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Lee, Halifax, and Orange counties. The Lee County School Board meeting this week focused on technology benefits and challenges. Board members talked about students using Wi-Fi on buses for homework. The board also considered using magnetically sealed fabric pouches to store phones during class to address cyberbullying.
A new cell phone policy was adopted, but further decisions are pending. The board also approved a resolution asking for state funding to buy more Chromebooks.
The Halifax State Historic Site will host an official kickoff of North Carolina's America's 250 commemoration. Tomorrow is the celebration of the 248th anniversary of the adoption of the Halifax Resolves. That was the first official action of any of the colonies calling for independence. There will be special programming all day long, including the Historical Halifax Restoration Association's Halifax Resolves Day ceremony. That's at 2 p.m. More events follow Saturday and Sunday.
Looking for your next good read? Join the Friends of Chapel Hill Public Library for their big book sale this weekend. Tomorrow is for Friends members, but memberships are available that day. Saturday and Sunday sales are open to the public with an extensive inventory of gently used fiction and nonfiction books for children and adults. Prices start at just $1.
How can technology cut down the cost of your electric bill? Duke Energy says they're trying to figure that out. They're testing emerging technologies, figuring out how they can work with their grid and how they can be developed to programs that can save you money or keep the lights on when there's an outage.
So a microgrid is being able to operate independent of the electric utility. So again, we have our own generation source. We have our own storage source for power. Then we have our own consumption. All these three things operate together without external power feed from the grid.
Tonight at 6 o'clock, 5 on Your Side has a look at what Duke Energy is testing and the potential benefit to you.
Press-on nails. They're convenient, they never chip, and they're incredibly popular for many women.
However, medical experts say they could pose a health risk. We're going to explain how and what you can do to keep yourself safe.
Also ahead, beware of counterfeit Botox. Why you want to make sure you only get those injections in a medical setting. Press-on nails may save you time and money, but are they safe? Experts say people may experience infections from press-on nails because they trap in moisture, creating a damp environment for fungus and bacteria to thrive. Signs of infection include swelling, redness, or tenderness around the nail and nail discoloration. Applying and removing fake nails can potentially damage your natural nail. It's also possible to experience an allergic reaction to the press-on nail or the glue. It's important to follow up with a dermatologist if you notice any changes to your nails or signs of an infection.
People in at least two states have been hospitalized after receiving Botox injections. Six cases of botulism have been reported in Tennessee and Illinois after receiving the injections in a non-medical setting. The purified form of a bacterial ingredient found in Botox is approved by the FDA to be used by licensed healthcare providers as a cosmetic treatment. The CDC says it doesn't quite know the ingredient that caused these patients to get sick. However, an investigation suggests that patients may have received counterfeit injections.
New data shows more women are ending up in prison.
The increase is actually quite alarming. Just ahead, what experts say is behind this surge in female prisoners and what they say needs to change.
Also ahead, how the company behind Instagram says it is cracking down on criminals who target teens with what's known as sextortion.
We're following some breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center. I want to take you to the website of App State University. Right now, we're learning there was a stabbing at Peacock Hall on the campus of App State University just about 15 minutes ago. Initially, we're told the person responsible left the area in a black Toyota convertible. But now, in the last 5 minutes, the website has been updated to let us know that the person responsible or linked in connection with the stabbing is now in custody. Again, a stabbing at Peacock Hall on the campus of App State University. I know many of you have students at App State. We will stay on top of this story and bring you any new developments here in the WRAL Live Center during this newscast or in a news starting at 4, WRAL.com, and of course the WRAL News app.
Wow. Okay, Ken, thank you. We'll check back in. So any parent with especially teenagers knows you got to be diligent when it comes to their use of social media. Now Instagram is doing something that's going to help that as well. There's this scam where people are trying to convince teens to send them nude photos and then tell the teens that they'll post the image online unless the victim sends them money or gift cards. The company announced today it's testing new features to curb the crime, including blurring nude images sent in direct messages and letting users know when they've interacted
interacted with somebody who's engaged in financial sextortion, as they call it. The FBI says it's seen an increase in these types of cases in recent years, often started by scammers overseas. Instagram says the feature should be available worldwide.
There's been an ongoing shift in the demographics of the nation's inmates. You may be surprised to learn the number of women behind bars is on the rise. Data shows the number of women in prison skyrocketed by more than 500% between 1980 and 2021. That's a rate more than double that of men. One reason, many states throughout the years have been raising the legal penalties and mandatory minimum sentences for those possessing and trafficking drugs. About 25% of women in prison are there for drug-related crimes, compared to only 12% of male prisoners. Another concern is what happens to the women who serve their sentences and then re-enter society.
And here I've become like this person that I wanted to be, and I just worry that going out, that I won't be able to be that person.
The National Justice Department reports rehabilitation programs to help people not become repeat offenders are not growing at the same pace for women as they are for men. Advocates for criminal justice reform are calling for improvements.
The big story today is weather. We're on top of it for you. It is a WREL weather alert day. Elizabeth Gardner has been keeping an eye on all this busy activity, especially a lot of wind in our area, Elizabeth.
We did have strong winds, say up to 45, 50 miles per hour, roll through just before noon this morning, and it knocked down some trees and it did cause a lot of power outages. This is a new update that we have from the Storm Prediction Center. It doesn't necessarily affect our viewing area, but it still relates to us. You can see this level two risk. Before that, it was up closer to West Virginia. And so the Storm Prediction Center dropped this down closer to the Triad area. And of course, it just means that we're closer to that level two risk for severe storms. Isolated tornadoes are not out of the question, but more likely we'll see straight line winds. And since we've already seen a round of wind damage, we certainly have the potential to continue to see that as we have more rounds of rain rolling through during the day today. Let's take a look at what's been happening down to the south. Boy, it's been really rough down in Florida. We continue to have a tornado warning in progress right now. I feel like every time we take a look down there, this one is near Jacksonville. We've had some of those near Gainesville, Florida, but North Florida has had multiple rounds of tornado warnings since early this morning. Things are fairly quiet on dual Doppler 5000 radar for us right now. We'd had a band of rain that moved through that helped to bring us those strong winds from the Triangle area southward. We had some reports of some wind damage in Cary. Most of this was trees down, but we did have a report of a building in Sanford where the roof was torn off of it. So some rough weather. I pulled up this camera in Fayetteville and it was really shaking pretty hard. It's not shaking as hard as it was just a little while ago, but you can definitely see the cloud cover there and the camera's shimmering just a little bit. The winds there in Fayetteville gusting to 28. The gusts are in that white box on the right and the steady winds are in the blue box on the left. Winds are coming out of the south right now. So 16 in Fayetteville, 13 in Durham and Rocky Mount. We're gusting to 26 in Goldsboro and 28 in Rocky Mount. But some of the wind gusts that we've seen so far have been up to 50 miles per hour, 55 miles per hour. That was with that line of rain that came through around 10:30 to 11:30 this morning. Expect the winds to continue to gust today. We're going to see the gusts up to 40 miles per hour or higher, but it doesn't stop there. We'll likely have some winds gusting tomorrow too, up to 30 miles per hour. We'll walk you all the way through Friday and show you what we'll see then. Here's a look at the rest of the day today. We may have a band of showers and thunderstorms that rolls from south to north across the area between 2 and 4 o'clock. And it may be a little break in the precipitation, and then the cold front gets closer to us. And this is where we'd be most concerned for isolated tornadoes. Around 7 to 8 o'clock, we see these cells developing. The cold front pushes through between 10 and 11. And then that should be the end of our severe weather threat. We may wake up tomorrow morning to a few isolated showers and then see some sunshine. But a disturbance will roll through during the afternoon, and starting around 5 or 6 o'clock, we could have a few more cells develop. Not likely to be severe, but there could be some strong winds and some rain with that. If you were planning to go out for dinner Friday night, maybe sit outside, you may want to rethink the outdoor table. How much rain total will we see? Easily it's going to be a half an inch to an inch and maybe some pockets heavier than that. Of course, today is a WREL weather alert day, and of course we're going to be here with you all afternoon walking you through these bands of rain that come through and letting you know if there's anything dangerous. Again, it remains windy for tomorrow. The weekend looks nice and quiet for us. Cool Saturday and warmer on Sunday.
Elizabeth, thanks. A California man in his mid-80s is a TikTok sensation.
No one's more surprised than he is. Just ahead, how this retired aerospace engineer became a social media superstar. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few headlines that we're following for you today.
Today is WRAL Weather Alert Day, and we're already seeing some damage from wind. You're looking at video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. This is Lake Pine and Cary Parkway in Raleigh. Large tree branches blocking the traffic on the road. Keep up with our team of meteorologists throughout the day using the WRAL News app and on our evening news.
O.J. Simpson has died after a battle with cancer. He was 76. O.J.'s family announced his death on social media. Former NFL star and broadcaster's athletic achievements brought him to fame. Those accomplishments were eclipsed by his 1995 acquittal in the brutal killings of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman.
New jobs and billions in investments are coming to North Carolina. Governor Cooper made the announcement saying Fujifilm Diosynth Biotechnologies intends to add 680 jobs. This is all part of a $1.2 billion expansion in our state. The project is expected to have an economic impact of more than $4 billion.
A retired volunteer at a Sacramento, California history museum has become a viral social media sensation. Howard Hatch is in his mid-80s, but he's getting millions of views and likes on Instagram and TikTok just by doing what he does. That's operating an old school printing press. It's an idea that started during the pandemic. The museum's social media manager asked Howard if he could record a post showing him do that work. He's a former aerospace engineer. 4 years later, the museum's social media accounts just keep growing.
Now at over 3 million YouTube subscribers. So we are the most followed museum on TikTok and the most subscribed museum on YouTube.
There's been some instances where I've been recognized around Sacramento, even though I'm not dressed like this.
I'm speechless.
How fun is that? Howard is happy to keep starring in videos, but he says there's one thing he'll never do for TikTok or Instagram, and that's dance.
Time for our pets of the day. We have Laverne and Shirley. They are one-year-old English Lops. They are best buds and have spent their whole lives together, so they're a package deal for adoption. They share an adoption fee of $60 and do not come with an enclosure. Go to spcawake.org for more information. NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Thanks for being with us here at noon. We'll stay on top of this weather for you. Have a great day.
Stay safe with the latest WRAL Weather Alert Day info. Get up to the minute weather and traffic conditions when you get in your car. In Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on